There was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. While Americans wanted to know about marijuana, the president is on to more weighty issues. President Obama announced this morning a plan to increase troops in Afghanistan.
I want the American people to understand that we have a clear and focused goal to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat al-Qaeda in Pakistan and Afghanistan.
The president is tying his plan for Afghanistan to political goals for Pakistan and Afghanistan and a regional approach to the conflict. Yesterday, House Republicans unveiled an outline of an alternative budget with some ideas you may remember from the fall campaign: reducing waste, cutting taxes, cutting government, and offering health care through tax benefits and interstate competition. And guess what? Twice as many Americans think the economy is heading south compared to those who think it's improving, but that's considered good news. Joining us to discuss these developments in Washington are Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, and Ed O'Keefe, Federal Eye columnist for The Washington Post. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrea.
Susan, Ed, and I guess we'll start with you, Susan. Let's start with your reaction to the Afghanistan plan. In some ways, it sounds a lot like President Bush's surge in Afghanistan. How do you think Republicans will react?
You know, I think that we see a decided break with Bush policy toward Afghanistan. I think this is a very significant announcement he made today. He's sending fewer troops than General McKiernan, the U.S. commander in Afghanistan, had expected, had requested at least. I don't know what he expected. It's a turn from a mostly military strategy in Afghanistan to one that is centered on trying to provide more security for the Afghan people. And there was a real warning in his message session just ended in the East Room, a real warning to the Afghan government about the corruption that's been of great concern to U.S. officials. He says the United States is going to set benchmarks and enforce them. Now, we'll see how you enforce them if the benchmarks aren't met. But I think that this announcement this morning represents a real turning point from an expansive military goal that the Bush administration set to establish a flourishing democracy there to one with much more limited goals and very different resources deployed.
Now, Ed, how do you think that the Republicans are going to react? Because, the bottom line is, although there are benchmarks, there are goals, there's a more holistic approach, there is a request in there to send more Americans to fight in Afghanistan.
Well, and I think that's a real change in strategy, really, from the way that not only the Afghanistan situation has been handled, but the Iraqi one as well. I think we have to remember, we should pay attention perhaps to Republican reaction, not so much right now, but months and years from now as the process continues, no matter how it turns out. You know, several different folks today in various analyses suggesting that, you know, this really now is the Obama war. If the Iraq war was the Bush war, this one has the potential to really become his. He has ordered this very extensive review. He is devoting, you know, various military and civilian resources to it. Keep an eye on its progress in the coming years. This may be his big foreign policy measure. Republicans, you know, it's going to be difficult to oppose this situation when everyone acknowledges that it has needed more attention, more funding, and more troops, and now more civilian personnel. I think there'll be a big question, and a lot of Republicans will be curious in the coming, again, months and years to know what exactly those people are doing there, and what is their barometer for success?
So the GOP might be sort of... I'm sorry, go ahead, Susan.
I wonder if, in fact, Democrats might be more concerned to the administration than Republicans. We heard favorable words from John McCain last night about the first reports of this plan. He would be an important voice when it comes to the Afghan war. I wonder if we might hear, and Ed might know more about this than I do, from liberal Democrats who think, let's not invest so much in Afghanistan. We really need to make investments here at home.
And there are some very, I think, we'd have to call them fringe liberal groups out there right now raising concerns about the military and civilian buildup. But, you know, at least for now, those reservations not as amplified, perhaps not as not as accredited as they may become if things go south. But for now, at least, there's very little general opposition to this plan.
And, race is an interesting question because during the campaign, this sort of, plan for Afghanistan in some ways, even though it was recently developed, was hidden in plain sight, which is to say that then Senator Obama sort of talked about Afghanistan as a criticism. We haven't focused enough attention there. We've diverted our attention to Iraq. Well, that certainly suggests more attention. But I'm not so sure that the American people, really realized that they were sort of endorsing another military program abroad. And I wonder whether there, is going to be the appetite for it.
Well, go ahead, Susan.
I was just going to say, in the USA Today Gallup poll, we have seen a big jump in the percentage of Americans who say the decision to go into Afghanistan 7 years ago, think how long this war has been going on, was a mistake. Now, it hasn't reached the levels of the opposition to the Iraq war, but we are seeing growing concern among Americans about how long are we going to be there. Under this Obama plan, U.S. forces will be there more in a training role, perhaps, in a combat role, but for years to come. I think it is unlikely that we'll see significant withdrawals of these U.S. forces during Obama's first term. And that is got to be a political concern. With this economy so bad, Americans, I think, are very much focused with things at home.
And, Andrew, that polling is a shift, really, from where things were. As I recall, during the campaign, you would go out and talk to voters in states, and they'd say, I'd much rather see attention devoted to Afghanistan because that's where this problem, with the 9/11 attacks actually began. Why aren't we devoting more resources to actually fighting the people who were responsible for starting this instead of, focusing on a country in a war in a different part of the world that may not have did not have anything to do with those attacks? So, Susan's right that the polling indicates that people are a little more concerned about domestic affairs these days, but let's remember, during the campaign, there was a lot of support to turn attention back to Afghanistan.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehr on WNYC AM 820, 93.9, and WNYC.org. My guests are Susan Page of USA Today, Ed O'Keefe of The Washington Post. We're talking about the president's Afghanistan plan and everything else happened in Washington this week, which was certainly a lot. Just to follow up with that, I also heard people say, I would rather attention be paid to Afghanistan, but I don't know whether people sort of really thought of attention as more troops. And, I'm sort of wondering whether, a nation sort of, weary of war and also, now able to photograph Americans who have died returning home, perhaps more in touch with the consequences of that, whether people sort of realize what they were getting into. What do you think?
I think during the campaign, Ed's exactly right. Then Senator Obama talked a lot about Afghanistan being the right war and Iraq being the wrong war. But, in a way, Obama and other Democrats use their support for the war in Afghanistan to make it to give the impression or make the case that they weren't against using force everywhere, even as they opposed the Iraq war, proposed withdrawing U.S. troops there from there, that they weren't against fighting for American interests and American safety in foreign lands. So it became a kind of proxy in a way. And now, now the deed is done. He's elected. He's got this war. He made a commitment to the Afghanistan war during the campaign. But I think you're quite right that his decision not to send as many troops as General McKiernan requested is a significant one. He didn't say today, he laid out no timetable for withdrawal of these U.S. troops, but he's clearly trying to define the conflict there in a different way and define victory in a different way, in a way that might be easier to reach.
Well, let's sort of talk about his current Iraq plan. My daughter asked me the other day, are the troops home from Iraq yet? And, I'm sort of wondering whether that represents a kind of American view that he did promise to deal with Iraq quickly. And what is the timetable now on Iraq? What is the latest on that?
Oh, well, it's difficult to know, and I think we've seen the administration really backtrack since right after the election, saying that, things are going to be you know, that we're going to have to reevaluate. As I recall now, and Susan, correct me if I'm wrong, August 2010 is when we're supposed to be seeing most of these troops begin to return home, or all of them, at least the combat ones, will be back, whereas support troops will remain. I think Americans need to get used to the idea that we're going to be in Iraq for a while, much like we've been in Korea or we've been in Germany since military operations in those regions. It's the size and scope of the mission that will change, but it's very impractical to believe that, you know, every single American troop will pull out. There was a government accountability report, government accountability office report that came out this week that suggested that the process of removing troops is going to be very costly. It could be a very tedious process because, remember, you're not just pulling out people, you're pulling out their equipment and you're pulling out all of the other sort of infrastructural things that come with it, and it can take a lot of time.
Well, Andrea, so far since President Obama was elected, we have seen no significant reduction in U.S. force levels in Iraq. But he's put off, you know, he had talked about pulling out a brigade a month. He has backloaded that. We've got elections in Iraq later this year. He's acceded to General Petraeus's request that we keep high force levels there through the election so the elections go well. But then he has laid out a rapid pace of withdrawal. Now, you do end up with a lot of troops still left behind, maybe 50,000 troops still in Iraq and the region to provide security there. But U.S. policymakers are actually pretty optimistic that things are going better in Iraq, that the government's doing pretty well, that if these elections go well, we may in fact be in a position to see significant withdrawals later this year and especially next year.
Now, Susan, let's talk about optimism. The poll you had in your paper this morning, 29% of Americans think the economy is improving, 66% don't. But that's considered good news. Can you explain?
Only two-thirds of Americans think the economy is still going badly. You know, it's a sign of the times that we looked at this and thought, wow, look at that number and how high it is. This is the highest level of optimism that we've had in the country since July of 2007. And one of the things that struck us, one of the reasons we wrote a story about it in today's USA Today, is that it's been a steady increase over the past 2 weeks. It's not been a one-day jump. It's coincided with improvements in the stock market.
Wait, hold on 1 second. There's an actual optimism tracking poll every day?
Oh, yes. You know, the Gallup organization, in conjunction with a group called Healthways, does a poll of 1,000 people every night, and they have done that since January of 2008. It's an incredible resource of data. It's unprecedented. And we on occasion write about this because it is so remarkable. So it means that it's not that the Gallup does a poll every week or two or every 3 weeks, but every night they are out asking people how they feel about the economy and a whole bunch of other things. It's a 40-item questionnaire. So we can look day-to-day how American attitudes are changing. And it's a, as I said, a remarkable tool. So we've seen in the past 2 weeks, since March 9th, when the stock market started to go back up, that American attitudes are really changing. And economists, I talked to some economists yesterday, say that changing attitudes is the first step. You know, you change attitudes, and then you feel a little better, and maybe you spend some money you had been holding back. And then maybe if you have a small business, you hire a new worker. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Still lots of bad news in the economy. But this is certainly an encouraging sign.
Ed, let's move quickly, too, because we have so much to talk about. The town hall meeting yesterday, the Internet town meeting. What'd you think?
Oh, you know, that was a very interesting situation. I will merely quote the suggestions of a Republican strategist who I think made a very interesting point, and that is that for whatever reason, the Obama administration likes to set up a lot of these situations that he's going into now and focus a little more on the sales pitch than the actual substance. And I think, you know, Washington-based journalists or others who track the Obama administration have to be very careful to not get caught up in the, you know, physical sales pitch and focus a lot more on what he has to say. This was a huge gimmick. You had, you know, millions of his supporters, or at least a millions of votes cast through this online thing consistent with his campaign strategy of using the Internet. But then you had, you know, wall-to-wall coverage on the cable news channels. Several, I know, radio stations across the country picked up most or all of it. And what did it do? It created a daytime roadblock situation for the president to dominate the daytime airwaves after he dominated the Sunday night airwaves on Sunday, the late night airwaves last week, and the primetime airwaves on on Tuesday night. So, you know, and what did he actually say? The only thing people remember that he said was the fact that he is not in support of legalizing marijuana for medical purposes or for any other purpose. You know, and he addressed these you know, other questions. But again, you know, was
Susan,
anything really learned, and did it really do anything to advance the needle? I don't think so.
Susan, what else did he say?
You know, I think Ed's exactly right. He repeated his talking points that he made in town hall meetings last week, and I mean, it's very familiar stuff. And so we get caught up, as Ed said, in the fact that it's the first time we've had this, you know, internet town hall meeting. So we're entranced by the sparkly packaging, but I don't think there was much news made. Now, maybe this is a way to reach an audience he wouldn't otherwise reach. The idea that Americans can submit questions that will be asked to the president, I think that's pretty appealing. Ed, you may know the number. This extraordinary number of questions got submitted, maybe 10,000 questions?
100,000, I understand.
Yeah, it was north of 10,000. It was definitely more than 10,000. And, you know, and millions of votes cast. This is a very interesting piece of technology that they were using that, for the lack, you know, pardon the shameless promotion, but I actually use it in my blog as well. It's called Google Moderator, where people can join this group. You list a bunch of different questions. You know, if we're talking to the president, you might, you know, ask a question, and then the entire group gets to vote on the one that they think is the most worthy and the one that's, you know, worth being asked of the president. And so I think that's partly why you saw things like marijuana legalization rise, because, you know, people who use the internet would sit there and think, oh, yes, that would be, you know, a great question to ask the president, because that's something we don't normally get to ask and no reporter would ask. So perhaps for that reason, it's a very good format, because questions that may not normally be asked of him get to be asked. But
what does
at the
that
same
mean,
time, it was a big gimmick.
What does that mean, a million people voted?
Well, and that's the thing. You know, it's hard to know if it was really a million people or if it were a million votes cast. Remember, this is the problem, for example, you know, that they have with American Idol when they say that more people voted than voted in the American election. No, more votes were cast. It could have been one person voting four or five times.
Or 400 times, maybe.
Exactly.
I actually think more Americans voted than voted on American Idol this year. The question is, you know, okay, so it's a gimmick, but, you know, I'm wondering whether there's any sort of tie-in to the poll on USA Today. I mean, you know, the president is talking to people and he's telling them their plans. And, you know, I think that one thing that has been pretty clear to us is that, you know, Obama loves to do this. And actually, people seem to love to hear it. They love to get the details.
Andrew, I think that's a great point. I think the more optimistic tone that President Obama has taken in the past couple of weeks is probably a factor in people feeling a little bit better about the economy. And also the fact that this enormous stimulus package, those funds are beginning to be spent. The federal government and the Federal Reserve are pumping an enormous amount of money into the economy. Maybe we're beginning to see the first signs of a reaction to that.
My guests are Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief of USA Today, and Ed O'Keefe, Federal Eye Columnist for the Washington Post. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And WNYC.org. Just a few more minutes to talk about something enormous, the federal budget. Yesterday, Republicans released a version of their budget. I think it was a 19-page outline. They're promising more details next week. Ed O'Keefe, what's the reaction in Washington to that budget?
Ho-hum might be one way to put it, because, you know, as we note in our reporting today in the Post, you know, there's no realistic way for any of the Republicans' plans to really be accounted for and put into the budget necessarily. But you know, they have they went out and introduced this, you know, broad outline yesterday, and will submit more details in the coming days, because there's been so much criticism that Republicans don't have a plan and don't have a message beyond disagreeing with the president. But you know, you talk to people who have read through this, you look at it yourself, and you realize there isn't much there just yet. But even if they are proposing it, it's going to be very difficult for them to get any of their proposals actually considered. You know, the House Republicans are the ones that submitted this outline. Senate Republicans will try to tack some things onto the Democratic proposals through amendments, but it'd be very difficult for them to really get anything done.
Lots of ideas that we heard during the campaign: rooting out waste and fraud, limiting the size of government. A health care plan looked very similar to the McCain health care plan. Tax credits, interstate competition. Anything new in that package? Anything surprising to you?
You know, Andrea, the surprise to me was they put it out. You know, there was a big fight in behind closed doors with House Republicans about whether to put this out. Paul Ryan, who is the Wisconsin representative and the ranking Republican on the Budget Committee, has been working with Eric Cantor, the whip, on what would be seen as a much more serious budget document. They're not done with it yet. Over their objections, the House Republican leader, John Boehner, went out and had this press conference yesterday, opening the Republican plan to a lot of ridicule. Robert Gibbs, the president's press secretary, at the briefing yesterday, said it took him several minutes to read it. this is not.
It doesn't take that long, in fairness.
Yeah. Not a good sign for Republicans who have diminished ranks that they are. We are seeing some real cleavages within their ranks behind closed doors.
So, and indicative in all of that, too, Andrea, is Eric Cantor, the whip, showed up, made his opening statement, then left.
Did he go to a Britney Spears conference?
That was the night before, as I recall.
Now, what are the next steps in seriousness in the budget process? And can this, I mean, is this going to be another situation where even though Democrats are behind it, the president's going to, you know, need to get a few Republicans and make some big changes because of that? Either one of you.
One of the big decisions that the White House has got to make is what rules to use with this budget. You know, there's some suggestions that he could use what sounds pretty arcane, which is an arcane rule that would allow them to wrap their big proposals on energy and health care into the budget resolution, which can't be filibustered. And if they did that, they would really not need any real Republican support to get it through. But there's resistance to that, including from some moderate Senate Democrats. If they break that apart, they'll do the budget, they'll do health care as a separate item, energy proposals as a separate item, and that would be the more traditional way to do it, but it would also be a harder way to do it, and means you really have to get Republican votes in the Senate if you're going to get it through.
Well, I mean, given all of the enormous ideas in this budget, and in some ways it's sort of so fascinating because it's kind of all of Obama's campaign wrapped up into a document and made flesh, so to speak. And I'm wondering whether, you know, it's something that the Obama administration is going to try to do to just get this thing passed, get it through, given their experience with the stimulus.
There's a lot of risk in doing that because, you know, it's really going to sour the mood here in Washington, or at least continue sort of that polarizing partisan atmosphere, and it would be a very big gamble. But let's remember that what the president approved, or what he proposed in his budget, is merely that, a proposal, and it was a very Democratic, very Obama budget that did, as you said, lay out a lot of the plans that he had first talked about during the campaign. No one should believe that it's going to the budget will end up looking exactly as he proposed it, exactly as Congress proposed it. There will be big changes. But to go through with this idea of trying to maneuver all these health, education, and clean energy initiatives without many Republican votes, I think would be very difficult for him to do right now, and really could spoil the political goodwill that exists.
What should we expect to see next week, Susan Page?
What do we expect to see next week? We see the president heading off to Europe for a big economic conference, and that's going to be important on two fronts. For one, he wants more help from NATO countries in Afghanistan, and he also wants more spending by European nations on stimulus. The European nations have been very resistant to that. That's been quite a lot of concern over at the Treasury Department. That'll be a big fight next week.
You guys getting any sleep? Are you getting any sleep, Susan, Ed?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. I know my attention next week will be focused just north of you guys there on the Thruway in the 20th Congressional District. I'm an Albany native originally, very interested to see the results of that special election. A lot riding on that for national Republicans. If they can't pick up a seat in the early days of the Obama administration, it might require more rethinking of the Republican strategy, especially when it comes to the economy. This is a district that's chock full of Republicans that, for whatever reason, don't seem to be entirely behind the Republican candidate. If the Democrat wins, he'll be doing it on the backs of the general economic mood and some assistance from national Democrats. Will be a very interesting race to watch.
All right, that's next Tuesday, and of course, it's the race is coming. I mean, you know, all politics may be national in terms of the interpretation, but all politics are local. It's the day before the New York budget is due.
Right.
And all of the New York government is controlled by Democrats right now, as you know, and no one is that happy with New York government. So that may be impacting on that race is as well, which is, as you know, a 3-to-1 Republican registration.
Absolutely. But the fact that Tedisco, who is the Republican leader in the assembly, you know, an Albany veteran, can't pull ahead, a lot of people believe that it's partly because of his associations with Albany. So it'll be interesting to watch.
All right. We'll be watching that. Thanks so much, Ed O'Keefe, Federal Eye columnist for The Washington Post, and Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. When we come back, should we be hoarding more and spending less? Right after this.